Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry. I am so honored today because I have Nathan with me, and Nathan is with a diverse background in transpersonal psychology, integrative somatic healing, metaphysics, energy dynamics, entrepreneurship, leadership, and trauma-informed care. He has worked with professional athletes, executive leaders, soldiers in the U.S. Army, men's groups, professional organizations, entrepreneurs, and elite coaches on how to overcome the mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual challenges that hinders one's ability to become the leader of their own life. Thank you so much for being here today, Nathan.
Absolutely. So excited for this. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I would love for you to kind of just tell us how you got here today. I know it's been a journey, but if you could in a nutshell, and then we can dive a little deeper.
Yeah. So, I mean, we can start with a brief synopsis over childhood. Really wasn't the most peaceful nor love and rainbows and love and light childhood. And that led me down a path of gang affiliation, drug addiction, eventually to the military to get sober. And in the military, I found fitness. I found, you know, what taking care of myself was. And I served honorably for 5.5 years and then was medically discharged unexpectedly. So I ended up getting discharged March 2016 as a 100% disabled veteran, and I was only in fitness, only knew about fitness and had no education or really any background whatsoever other than the military. So I pursued that, and about a year later I tore my hand open, and that happened by freak accident. I was at the gym where I was working, leaned on the granite counter, and it just snapped off and it went right into my hand. Tore 4 tendons, severed my radial artery, median nerve. Still can't really feel these 2 fingers here. And that's what started my entrepreneurial journey, really. Mm-hmm. And it was completely, again, unexpected. And I knew nothing of what I was doing and was in a court settlement. And that was really the initial, you know, money that I used to get additional training and education and really learn how to be a business owner. And again, still figuring it out as time goes on, as we all do. So yeah, that was really how it started. And over the last about 5+ years or so, this has been quite a journey. I've been opened up to a lot of things, right? That was also the moment of spiritual awakening for me. And it wasn't too long after that that I really got into transformational work, leadership trainings, and going into the healer communities and going to a transpersonal psychology, metaphysical university, and a lot of different, you know, background in the healing arts, a lot of different backgrounds in the healing arts. And that's what I'm here doing today, is really bringing this culmination of life experience and education and work into transformational settings for people to awaken, heal, and lead themselves and their communities.
I love how it all just transformed from like childhood till now. But first off, thank you for your service. I have to highlight that, but I think it's so incredible where you're able to take any hardships that you've gone through in childhood and you went into the service, you found fitness, and then your hand, what you happened to your hand too, and all these factors and things that had happened and occurred, you were able to really move through that and create this process for yourself to overcome it, because a lot of people might get stuck. And especially the entrepreneurial journey, like you said, it's like you're still figuring it out. You could be 20 years in and still figuring something else out. We're constant learners. I do think it's this transformation that happens from the inside out. And that's what it really, like what I'm hearing happen for you. And I would love to know, because I know new intention is really, you have a whole method behind it and what you're really doing amazing things in this world. So could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes. And thank you for the acknowledgement. So With the new intention method, it is a, what I would say, a technology, right? It doesn't require a specific modality. It doesn't really, you know, go off of, you know, a protocol or anything of that nature, but it is a experiential, holistic, and integrative model of transformation that I use in a course setting and an event setting in any other setting. And it really is just putting them all together and finding a creative way and a creative process to help purpose-driven humans and heart-led leaders. And I sprinkle some leadership stuff in there as well to awaken the wisdom through their body to then unlock the constructs of the mind and then to connect to the deeper sense of their purpose in life. And it's really that mind, body, spirit. You know, a lot of people will talk about it. It's kind of this concept. It's this ethereal thing. Mm-hmm. But I've just broken it down into actionable, tangible steps for people and really how to present it in a way where people can utilize it and apply it in their everyday lives without, mm-hmm. you know, bypassing it or seeking just one method to do things, one thing or one modality to use it. Because the method is just a culmination of all these technologies put together, however somebody needs to use it for their present circumstances. Mm-hmm.
I think that's so important that you touched on the tangible aspect, because there's a lot of fluff out there of what you can do. And there's a lot of great tools out there, but you're right. Not one thing works for one person. Like there's a combination of everything of what you need physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, and being able to really compact that together of what works for each individual. And I love that you bring like technology piece to it too, of just really understanding everybody's so unique in their own way. But if they have the tools and they can grab from their toolbox, and that's what I'm kind of like picturing right now as you were talking about it, of just the different modalities that you can use to really show up purposefully in your life and really connect the mind, body, soul, or spirit. Because that's something that's so important to me as well. And I totally align with that. I'm sure a lot of people listening too can really attest to that or wanting that. So what does that look like for clients? Because I know you've had so much success with clients, but if you could share maybe one or two of your client success stories with us, I know people would love to hear them. And I would too.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you. Yeah. So for clients, it looks like either a one-on-one container, depending how long that goes. It may look like a 3-day private immersion, or I take them out into a foreign environment, a foreign place that they've never been. Creating new stimulus is at the forefront, right? One of the pillars is sensation, and bringing in the environment is the easiest way that we can bring in new senses and create new opportunities for new actions and new decisions and new shapes and new movements in the world. And, you know, I'll speak to the virtual setting, because a lot of my clients, whether they're in Bali or Australia, it's like, well, yeah, we don't really have the availability to do that. So what now?
Yeah.
And, you know, through this process, it's more in the form of mentorship and just using the tools from the pillars, from the method to apply into their unique set of circumstances. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll share one of my clients, Thomas, who's in Australia. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he gave permission to share the testimonial. It's on my website. And when he first came and saw me, he was about to be a father. And they had separated. And, you know, that we encounter these phases of lostness in life where we might feel lost. And this was one of those moments. Mm-hmm. And what he says now is that he's able to show up daily as a dad, and the peace that he feels from the process, from utilizing the tools and applying them into his daily life, has allowed him to really mitigate the drama from the trauma. Mm-hmm. And with that, if someone can step into their parenthood role, their father or mother role, that to me is one of the biggest points of success that I could ever share with anyone.
Yeah, no, that is so pivotal. I mean, I'm not a parent yet, but I know you are a father. So I'm curious and thank you for sharing that testimonial, but what has it been like for you integrating entrepreneurship, all the things that you're up to, and your children too?
Yeah. So this has been the question at the forefront of my mind a lot lately, right? Mm-hmm. How am I integrating fatherhood into my purpose, right? I'm even evaluating what that means now.
Yeah.
I've always said that my purpose is to help others embody your humanity. Mm-hmm. And my mentor had asked me the question, well, what does Nathan's purpose look like if it's for him, if it's for me? And really that is to show up fully for myself, right? Show up fully for myself and not pour from an empty cup. And that's the integration that I've been doing, is going to see my son in the NICU every day and knowing that I'm still taking care of myself in the morning and serving throughout the day and then going and closing my day with him. Or if it's on the weekend, maybe I'll open my day with him. And then now it's become a part of my day, which is something I never would have really imagined, but it will be for the next foreseeable future. And what I've also realized is it's required this massive slowing down. Mm. Even though I'm doing a lot of things, mm-hmm. I'm personally slowing down, and I'm also bringing people on. I'm assembling a team. I'm asking for help. I'm asking for support. I'm providing them with income so they will joyfully, right, come, right? And also attracting the individuals who believe in the vision, who will, you know, be around again for the foreseeable future to help move this vision forward piece by piece and step by step. So it's been really challenging, especially since my two other children are in two other states. So finding time to bring them here and to go visit them and moving around, there's a lot of pieces. And I don't know if anyone's ever worked with two different child custody courts or child support courts, but it is quite the experience. And if I hadn't had done the work that I've done, I wouldn't be laughing right now. I'd be very frustrated. I'd be very angry. I'd be very resentful. But it is always an opportunity to step greater into responsibility. That's really what it all comes down to. And in the spaces that I create and the groups and the people that I consider myself to be a leader in, I always come back to that phrase, lead by example. And that's really what's being offered, is leading by example, even when my children aren't watching.
Yeah. Oh, that's so powerful. And I appreciate you sharing that too, because I think that could help so many people listening that might be going through a similar situation. But you're right, it's all the work you've done to be able to be at this point and not be frustrated. Of course, I'm sure it's frustrating, but the way you react to it and respond to it just shows your character too, and how it's focusing on what do you need to do in order to do all the things that you want to accomplish and be able to see your children and deal with all the courts. And it's not a fun process from what I've heard. But I think too, it's just how you approach it. It's how you really understand too. It's leading by example, like exactly how you said it. I think you said it so beautifully, because it is really doing things when nobody's watching. Even if you feel like they're watching, but knowing that like you're doing the right thing for the right reasons and the right purpose and what aligns with your heart and your mind, and knowing that too. So I appreciate you sharing all of that. And because I think being a parent is the hardest job. I've never been a parent, but I know from what I hear and my parents tell me, it's the hardest job, because there's no handbook and there's no right or wrong way, but it's doing it what you think is best in that moment and doing the best you can with what you have. And the more we evolve, the more we can see that as well. And it sounds like just all the work you're doing with your clients and everyone else that you're helping in your groups and leadership skills and really embodying what you preach. And that's what I hear. That's what I see constantly as well. And I'm sure people that will look at all your social medias as well will see that, because it's how we show up every day. It's not just once in a while, it's every day. But I'm curious, because sometimes there are hardships. What have been some of the roadblocks that you've experienced on this journey?
Wow, I can think of a lot. A lot. You know, in a lot of these blocks, I think You know, if I were to really break it down, the first block being myself, which a lot of people can probably relate to. And it's like, yeah, Nate, we know this, you know, but what I'm speaking to is myself, right? Breaking it down into two words, right? And breaking this down in an even deeper format, it's looking at the persona, it's looking at the ideal self, it's looking at the inner critic, it's looking at the higher self. Mm-hmm. And it was the disassembling of those four selves and how I showed up in each of those ways, which really blocked me, because for a long time I thought I was coming from my higher self, right? Especially when I first, you know, woke up, we'll call it. Mm-hmm. But really what was happening was the persona was leading the way. Yeah. And for a great deal of my life, right, that persona, right, the ego, right, overcoming these obstacles that I'm creating just to have a sense of validation and knowing that, oh, I overcame it. Oh, I conquered it. Right. Mm-hmm. And you have a background in psychology, so you know, right. It's like we create our own sufferings and we only seek to overcome them. So that was really me having to realize, you know, am I creating these circumstances and creating these roadblocks for my own personal, like, masochistic pleasure? Or are these actual blocks that I'm experiencing that are outside of me, that are approaching me, that are encountering me, giving me an opportunity to walk away with a lesson, giving me an opportunity to actually expand into something else? Mm-hmm. And it was that realization that there was a next level, which meant that there was something more. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not here to beat the game. I'm here to play the game. And that was a block, thinking that I'm here to beat life. I'm here to accomplish all these things because, right, society and culture teaches us that once we have these things, we'll have a job and we'll have a house and we'll have a car and we'll have a kid and we'll have a dog and all these, you know, fancy things, right? $1 million in the bank. And that's when you win the game. Mm-hmm. But nah, bro, like that, you just got to another level. And now you get to see where the next level is, yeah. Right? So not seeing that there was a next level was really holding me back as well. And the third thing I'll speak to is the misdistribution of my sexual energy. Mm. And I say that because for a long time, and again, still working on sex, love, relationships, it's actually a big part of my work right now, doing shamanic sexual healing for myself. Mm-hmm. And seeing how sexual energy is related to creational energy, is related to financial energy, mm-hmm. it really has kind of influenced those three areas of my life. And knowing that my sexual energy was linked to my creative energy, which was linked to my financial energy on creative ways mm-hmm. to create income, creative ways to create impact, creative ways to explore myself and the world, mm-hmm. was a huge lesson I've been having to learn, even currently. Mm-hmm. Seeing, oh, is it just a mindset block, or is it a misappropriation or misdistribution of my energy in a sexual way, right? Mm-hmm. Including how it's directed.
Yeah.
Right? And that's, again, ethereal concept. It's very interesting to think about, but what does it look like in action?
Yeah.
That looks like when I'm walking down the street, right, observing someone's beauty versus allowing lust to take effect. Mm. All things like that, right? And being able to shift it and then direct it inward and then put it into different activities that have nothing to do with the opposite sex or someone I'm interested in, right, for whoever's mm-hmm. looking. And that's what I would say are the main lessons that have encapsulated where I'm at now.
Wow. No, those are so beautifully put. And it just really gives a different perspective of looking at, it's not just one way. There's so many elements and layers to us and to the energy that, like, we experience, but also bring out of us, whether it's linked of getting to the next level and all those factors of financial, sexual, just our creativity and all of those things, but also the mind block, because there's so many people that talk about, like, the mental blocks. Like, I've experienced that so many times, and we get in our own way, but the level of that. Like, there's so much depth to what you were saying too. And I'm just still processing it because it was like such good information too, to really like take and think about. And I mean, I would love to hear other people's thoughts too. So right below, but I think the biggest thing is just being able to know ourselves and know that we're always evolving too. Like, we can know ourselves in that moment, but how there's so much more potential and purpose within us. And we're able to tap into that if we allow ourselves to. And that's like the basis of what I was getting. I was just like, yes, keep going. but I think it's so important what you were saying too. And when it comes to just like your overall entrepreneur journey, what has been maybe two or three things that have really helped you along the way in learning, maybe what you would have known in the beginning that you know now, that you wish you would have known?
A couple things. First one, and it's interesting because when I first started my journey, mm-hmm. I hired a coach, right? And I kind of, right, intuitively knew, right? I've had coaches, teachers, I've had senseis, right? Martial arts background, mm-hmm. knowing that there's always someone to guide the way. That's something I've always felt very comfortable with and not having to like strong arm it on my own. Mm-hmm. But this is one of the rare occasions where I'll say, but it's, I wanted a business coach, but the business coach wasn't going to get me there the fastest. Mm. Right? Business coach approach, for me at least, mm-hmm. it created a lot of layers, right? It added to the shit, right? Yeah. I can swear out here.
you can.
Okay. I didn't check first. Right. It kept adding to the shit. And what I mean by that is the more I've been doing this work, and as you know, again, having a background in psychology and an understanding of the human mind mm-hmm. and the information that I've processed and I've implemented with somatic healing work, mm-hmm. the more I'm on this journey, the more I'm realizing it's a method of subtraction, not addition. It's not about adding the tools in the toolbox. It's not about, right, unless you're coaching and you need the tools, of course, right? We're talking mm-hmm. about resourcing, which is completely different.
Yeah.
I speak to evolution. It's mm-hmm. so interesting because evolution, they think, is a forward progressing movement. But in order to move forward, you have to subtract, right? Think of it like you're on this 10-mile hike, right? Mm-hmm. And along every single stop, you're putting like more things in your bag. Right? How tired and how exhausted are you going to be after that 10 miles, after you've accumulated thousands of pounds of equipment on the way up?
Mm-hmm.
In reality, the long run, right? That longer journey, what I'm realizing is it's subtracting and holding the available resources.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what I'm speaking to, because that's been something I wish I knew, because I tried to add everything at once.
Yeah.
But I wasn't aware of the necessary resources, which is the energy, the time, the information.
Yes.
And we're able to manage our energy, if we're able to manage our time, and if we're able to manage our information, right? The information we consume, the information that we share, the information that we need in order to perform our daily duties and responsibilities, then that would have been so helpful for me. So I didn't take in everything at once and continuously burn out for years, and then ask the question, why does this keep happening? Because I know that's so common, right? Why does this keep happening?
Right.
Well, probably because you're trying to carry all your weight up the hill, and you're probably doing it alone.
Yeah. So spot on. And you know, it's so true. Like you said this earlier too, about like delegating, especially with just all the situations happening in life and everything, and wanting to have more time with your son at the NICU and being able to be present, but being able to delegate and outsource what's necessary. And just what you're saying too, it's like when you were saying that, I was envisioning this like brick backpack, like our backpack full of bricks, and like it's taking those bricks out versus like putting more and more in. And it weighs you down if you keep putting more on. And I love that you add put in the addition and subtraction, because it is about the energy, the time, the information. Those three elements make such a difference if we're really managing those. Like, because there's a lot of conversations about energy management, time management. I mean, time management has definitely been a conversation for a while, but energy management is so key. I would love for you to speak a little bit more to that, what that looks like for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so energy management, right? I bring in energy dynamics. It's actually a pillar in the new intention method. This is something that drives a lot of it, right? And for me, right, there's a lot of talk on the internet right now about masculine work, feminine work. Mm-hmm. And that's really what it comes down to. It's not only how it's expressed, but how it's carried throughout the day, just like the backpack. Mm-hmm. And it's honoring, hey, if you are more in a masculine place in life, right? Mm-hmm. Or in a more detail-oriented, structure-oriented, assertion, right? Energy, outward energy-oriented. Yeah. And if you're more awareness-oriented, which requires a lot of more mental thought work, then the practices during the day should support it, right? That's where the journaling, and that's where the meditation, and, you know, that's where these practices for focus really come in.
Yeah.
But if you are more in your feminine and you're in a more slower period of life and you have a little bit more fluidity through the day, if you are a little bit more feeling your way through life versus thinking your way through and building, and if you're in this creative flow and taking in the information from nature into yourself to then use your intuition on feeling where it carries you in the world, then practices should support that, right? Your ecstatic dance and your free-flowing movements and, right, just being able to direct and manage that energy, right, through the practices that support it, mm-hmm. right? Because a morning practice is great, and if your morning practice is against everything that you're trying to actually do out in the world, right, you now have two opposing magnets that are pushing itself in opposite directions. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily going to work that way. Yeah. So really being able to understand first and ask, where am I at and how do I feel? And then where do I want to go and how do I feel there? So now what energy, what time and information is required, yeah. right? And understanding what is my capacity? What is my threshold? Because the two are not the same. Mm-hmm. I have a really high capacity. I have a high stress tolerance. Mm-hmm. But right now, if I were to look at my calendar, my threshold is very low. Meaning, even though I can hold a lot, I cannot hold it right now.
Yeah.
And that's the energy too. It's understanding what is our energetic capacity, what is our energetic threshold, and what is the time and information that can actually fit into that space.
Yes.
Honoring it. Mm-hmm. Saying no a lot. Mm-hmm. A lot.
Yes. It really comes down to that. It's the boundaries, right? It's being able to set those boundaries of where your energy is going and just really tuning into yourself. And that, I love how you explain the threshold too, of like, you have the capacity to do it, but the threshold is smaller and that's okay. But it's knowing that and knowing where to navigate that. And it's almost like too, like what you were saying, what I was thinking in that process is like, seasons of life and phases of life and how we really go through those. Sometimes we need a little bit more in certain areas versus like other times we have to focus and shift our energy to a different direction in that phase. And like right now too, just your morning routine changed and like certain things have changed based off of like life circumstances, but that's not forever. It's just temporary, but it's really knowing yourself and what you can handle, but also what you truly can handle, like the threshold of it. So I love how you explain that. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, of course. And I think it's really important because, you know, having a background in like personal training and, mm-hmm. you know, rehabilitation and neuromuscular work.
Yeah.
Right. We walk around with these energetic and emotional injuries and we don't even realize it.
Yes.
Until we're in the hospital or until we can't get out of bed or until we feel so depressed into the ground that we don't want to move. Mm-hmm. And if we don't understand where the threshold is, right? The definition for an injury is when the load exceeds the tissue tolerance or the threshold, mm-hmm. right? And how we translate that into energy or emotions. Yeah. And then we're just walking around injured all day. And if we try to train on an injured energetic field, if we try to train on an injured emotion, we're going to keep re-injuring it. And chances are it's going to get worse, or it's not going to heal properly. And it's going to start calcifying. It's going to start developing scar tissue. And we're going to start forming beliefs. And we're going to start forming ideas around what this thing means, mm-hmm. versus actually sitting back and allowing it to dissolve and having the space to move forward.
You're so right. And it goes back to like that mind body connection too. Like it's so much easier to see something physically wrong versus emotionally. And a lot of times, if you're not dealing with something emotionally, it turns into something physical, whether it's pains or just like your shoulder, like your, I mean, for instance, I had a lot of anxiety growing up. So like my stomach would always hurt. And I've talked about this multiple times, but it was because I was carrying so many emotions that I didn't work through. But like what you're saying too, if you don't heal what's going on, it's going to fester. It's going to create these beliefs that we think a certain way because we haven't really dealt with it, but it's being able to pay attention to like the mental fitness of it. It's not just the physical, but I love how you encompass everything. It's not just physical and emotional, but mental and spirituality as well. But it all comes together so beautifully. And I've been so enjoying this conversation, but we're going to jump into the rapid fire questions if you're ready for them.
All right, cool. Let's go. Okay.
The first question is, what motivates you to work smarter?
Exactly what we just spoke to. Burnout. Burnout has motivated me because I've hit it so many times. And that's why I have moved fully into automation, delegation, elimination. So I have a deep passion for architecture and systems. That's a thing that I like to do on my own in my own business.
I think it's important for everybody. Gives us a little more time. So if you were a superhero, what power or powers would you have?
I would fly.
Yeah. That's a good one.
I would save so much money on flights.
Oh my God. You, me, both. That's a good one. I feel like everyone should be able to eventually, you know, it's in the forefront. Just press a button and we're flying. So if you could share a meal with any four individuals, living or dead, who would they be?
It's going to be Carl Jung. That's number one. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The second one, probably Ryan Holiday. Mm. Amazing author. Just like to pick his brain a little bit. Mm-hmm. My current mentor right now, Adam Roa. And then Michael Pollan. Mm. He's really big in the psychedelic space. So I think like having a culmination of like psychology, with like modern stoicism, with like artistic and poetic expression, with right, all these like stacked individuals, that conversation, just to be in the middle of it, I'd be like, oh, this is gonna be really fun, or this is gonna be really fucked up. Like,
you know what I was thinking? It just embodies what your business is all about, too. It's like every aspect. For the most part, you know?
Yeah, those are the questions I ask before most of my decisions. This is either going to be really fun or really fucked up.
We shall see. At least you go in with an open mind. That's the best way.
You're always worse.
So what is the phone app that you use the most?
Other than my texting app? Instagram, easy.
Instagram,
easy, yeah.
It's a good one. It's a good one. it sucks you in, but you know, you get to connect with cool people too. So there's that.
Yeah, it's used for good reasons.
Yeah. So if you had to describe yourself as an animal, personality type, style, what animal would you be?
Gorilla.
Gorilla? Ooh. Yeah. Why a gorilla?
So I kind of brought up Carl Jung. And mm-hmm. I love symbol work as like bridges into the subconscious mind and also to understand different personality types as archetypes. Mm-hmm. So really looking at gorilla, you look at how strong and how majestic they are and, you know, how they can, you know, mess somebody up, you know?
Yeah.
But really what I see in that is one who is strong enough to observe from afar, one who is willing to go to any measure to protect their family, to protect their tribe, and someone who can also be very tender and very gentle with the little ones, and also very firm. and also very goofy and sensitive. I don't know if you've ever seen them play, but they're actually very playful beings. And when they're alone, they just do really interesting things. It kind of reminds me of when I'm alone and I just start tinkering with reality. Really. Yeah. So that's why I say that.
I love that. I always like to know why on that one, because I think it just shows your personality. What is your favorite way to spend a day off? So if you're not working on systems, not helping all the amazing individuals you get to help every day, what are you doing?
I'm in nature. I am taking random overnight flights to spend the day on a beach since I live in Arizona. Mm-hmm. I am going up into the woods and maybe getting naked and eating mushrooms. Who knows? Yeah, those are what I like to do.
Very freeing, right?
Of course, being with my kids whenever I can.
Of course. And what is something an outsider wouldn't know about your industry?
About the industry? Oh, this is going to be a good one. So I have some strong opinions on the industry. One of them, and I'll speak to this because it's very alive in what we're seeing right now, mm-hmm. is the manipulation and the corruption that we see in the transformational / healing / psychedelic spaces. Because in these spaces, we have what I would call, right, dark shamans, mm-hmm. right? Those who are attempting to lead others through the dark, but haven't actually integrated the work they're speaking to. Mm-hmm. That's something to exercise caution with. Mm-hmm. I speak to that because gorilla energy, it's a responsibility that we're all moving into, in knowing that there are certain acts of injustice, certain acts of deception, certain acts of manipulation, right? When people hold certain power and there are others who are seeking help or healing, mm-hmm. it's very easy, you know, to be taken advantage of, you know, because we have fancy techniques like NLP, and there are actually trainings on how to maybe manipulate the mind into saying yes. Mm-hmm. And it's seen in these spaces too, that there is, right, energetic abuse, right? Even though mental or verbal or physical abuse hasn't happened, you know, in those spaces, they're very sensitive, right? Abuse can still occur. So right. It's something to let people know that are recently or newly stepping into their journeys, whether it be in the healing work or the transformational work, or even, you know, getting a coach for the first time. Mm-hmm. You know, ask plenty of questions. And the most important tool that you have is your intuition, right? The intuition that you have in this space, which again is a very ethereal concept, right? Mm-hmm. How you feel in your body, right? The yes and the no that feels in your body. Mm-hmm. Right? If you say yes and feel into your body, and if you say no and feel into your body, and then recognize when that shows up mm-hmm. in the spaces that you step into and the people whose counsel you seek, then that will actually guide your way much better than they can. Mm-hmm. And that will maybe lead you to the appropriate guide, the appropriate space. And it took me a long time to learn that. So that's the one thing I would recommend, because I knew nothing of that mm-hmm. stuff until it happened. Mm-hmm. So that's why I say that.
No, I think that's such an important point, because a lot of people don't know that or don't talk about it so openly or know about it, especially if you are new to it. So really understanding how energetically that can happen and really just trusting yourself first and foremost. And I love that you explained too, because I recently have been doing that too, where you like ask yourself yes or no and like feel into that. And it really shows up powerfully. If you're connected to yourself, it will, but taking it step by step and just knowing that there's good and bad in everything, but really understanding yourself and how that shows up. So thank you for sharing that. That was very well put. But with that being said, where can people find you, hire you, use your services? We're going to link everything below for people to just click on it. But if you could let us know too.
Yeah, they can pretty much find me on almost every social platform, which is just my name. And then my new website is up and running, and that's where they can see what I offer, the experiences I'm creating, the community that I'm building, and that is www.neuintention.com.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Nathan, for sharing all your wisdom, your energy, your heart today. I know I felt it. I'm sure everybody else listening does as well, but we really appreciate you coming on and just sharing your journey with us today.
Of course. Thank you, Caroline.
Absolutely. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway from Nathan today? I'm sure he would love to see that comment, and I know I would as well. And we will see you on the next video.